Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And this week, I think obviously we need to focus on the outcome of South Africa's national election. I'm not a political expert, so I can't really offer a huge amount of insight, but perhaps one or two comments from a financial markets perspective and what do we think the coalitions could look like. The second topic is a brief update on the Reserve Bank's MPC decision. They kept interest rates unchanged, but I guess we have to focus on what the outlook for interest rates is during the remainder of this year. I think it's fair to say that the outcome of South Africa's national election was a shock to most people. There were obviously some polls indicating that the MK party would receive a significant number of votes, but I think even there it surprised on the upside. Equally, the fall-off in the ANC's support was certainly surprising on the downside, and I guess most people didn't see the mix or the combination of votes that actually materialized. So what does this mean in terms of coalition? Well, it's very clear that it's not an easy outcome. It's not simply a question of the ANC partnering with a couple of small parties to get over the 50%. This requires a more comprehensive solution. Equally, I don't think that there's really any upside here for the ANC. The ANC has clearly taken a step backwards, a significant step backwards, and I think they're going to take a further step backwards in whatever decision they ultimately make. I think that their party is a conglomeration of different mindsets, of people who have different ideologies, different thoughts, different aspirations, and that once you enter a coalition, you will, by almost definition, anger some of your supporters and therefore potentially lose further support. So what are the options that the ANC is facing? Essentially, most people are coming up with four or five scenarios. I don't want to go through all four or five. I think we can condense them down into a couple of key thoughts. The first is it's very unlikely that the ANC will enter into a coalition or partnership with the MK party. There's now an extreme adversarial relationship between the MK party and ANC, and particularly, obviously, between Zuma and Ramaphosa. I don't think that animosity is about to be resolved, and the MK has made it clear that they would join the ANC in a coalition, but that would require the removal of the president. The ANC equally has made it clear that that's not an option. They've 100% supported the president in his current role, and there's no indication or suggestion that that's about to change. So I think we can dismiss the idea of a tie-up between the ANC and the MK party. What about the tie-up between the ANC and the EFF? I think that's become a little bit more likely. From our perspective, the EFF appears to be talking nicer with the ANC. By that I mean they've dropped some of their potential demands, the idea that Floyd Shabamba needs to become Minister of Finance, the idea that the President needs to be removed. I think they've walked back on some of those key talking points. I think they're setting themselves up to enter into a negotiation from a serious perspective, and I think they're hoping to enter into some form of coalition. They're not happy with being part of a government of national unity, but I also don't think that the ANC sees that as a first option. The EFF brings a whole lot of additional complications for the ANC, particularly when it comes to the reaction from foreign investors, the reaction from credit rating agencies, from local investors, the potential reaction in currency markets and in other financial markets. And I don't think the ANC would embrace that level of aggravation at this stage, given that their fiscal position has deteriorated significantly in recent years. It certainly would mean that the raising of additional finance becomes not just more expensive, but a bit more problematic. So I think that while there is still the potential of a tie-up between the ANC and the EFF, I wouldn't put it as the most likely outcome. There are people arguing for what they call a rebuilding of the ANC, kind of putting the ANC back together. An argument that suggests that you need to have the ANC partner with both the MK and the EFF because they ultimately were spin-offs from the initial ANC. And while that has a certain appeal for a section of South Africa's population, I don't think it's a realistic scenario. It's become too complicated, the personalities are too adversarial, and I don't think it would remain intact for a significant period of time. So I wouldn't give that potential outcome a high weight. So where do the options really lie? I think there are two areas where we're likely to see some progress. The first is the ANC partnering with a group of parties, let's call it a government of national unity, that would include the DA, but also some other newer and reasonably significant parties. That mix, I think, is workable, although obviously the ANC would have to give up a fair bit to each of the parties in order to get them to join into that coalition. And I'm not yet convinced that the ANC would be willing to do that. I don't think the ANC can afford to partner just with the DA. I think that is too problematic in terms of their own support base. So realistically, it would have to be the ANC partnering with a group of parties, call it the multi-party charter or a mixture of a government of national unity multi-party charter. But I think it is a complicated set of agreements that have to be negotiated, and it's always got the risk that it breaks down at some point. And clearly, it also has the risk that it stifles development in key areas, in key policy areas, where even though the parties have entered into some form of agreement, they can't agree necessarily on specific policy areas to take forward. So then you're left with an option which I think is a reasonably viable option, and that is for the ANC to remain as a minority party. In other words, the ANC doesn't formally enter into a coalition with any particular party. It sits with 40% of the National Assembly, but it enters into an agreement with the official opposition, in this case the DA, on the grounds that the DA would support them in two key areas. The one is if there were to be a no confidence vote in the president, that the DA supports the ANC in rejecting that no confidence vote. The second would obviously be the need to approve any of the budgets, any of the fiscal parameters that are set out in the national budget. You need a 50 plus one agreement for that to happen. And clearly, it's a critical process to keep the government functioning. So if you can get the DA to agree to support you in those two areas, then potentially you can continue as a minority government. And yes, you will have some problems in other policy areas, other legislation, but presumably you can convince some of the other political parties to support you in getting that legislation voted on with a 50 plus one agreement. So what would the DA get in return for that sort of support? Well, I think they could come up with something that is palatable. They could, for example, allocate the Speaker of the House to the DA party. They could ensure that the DA chairs a number of subcommittees within the parliamentary system that can have a significant influence on actual policy implementation or policy outcome. And so I think there is an agreement that can be made in order for the ANC to remain as a minority party, but with very targeted, specific support from the DA. It leaves the DA in still the position as being the official opposition and can then effectively challenge any of the policy framework that the ANC puts forward. I think it would help with the stability of South Africa in the short term. Of course, over the longer term, it remains to be seen whether or not the ANC would be able to rebuild its voter base. So I think you're going to see a period now where there's lots of rumor, lots of speculation. There's a huge amount of disinformation that's circulating around agreements that I think are almost entirely false. Social media is awash with conspiracy theories that have been refuted but continue to circulate. And I think that's going to persist for the next couple of weeks. And my advice would be to ignore all of it. Unless there is a specific press statement from a political party or a clear announcement from a group of individuals, I would simply ignore any of the rumors or suggestions. We've then got to wait for the 17th of June in order to convene the National Assembly. At that point, there would be the election of the Speaker of the House and the President, and I think that would then make it clear as to what the political alliances look like. Following that, there would be the inauguration of the President, and then ultimately the President would be able to appoint the Cabinet. And when you get the cabinet appointment, it would be then very clear what sort of political coalition or political agreements the ANC has entered into. It's not necessarily incumbent on the ANC to have a press conference to announce a formal coalition. That would be nice, and obviously if they're in a position to do that, that would be welcome. But it's entirely feasible that you get to the opening of Parliament without the detail of a coalition having been worked out. But instead, you've got a basic agreement that allows for the election of the president. The financial markets, I think, will remain wary over the next couple of weeks. They certainly took a knock when the results of the election started to be presented. Fortunately, they haven't continued to deteriorate, but I think there is a bit of a wait-and-see mode at this stage. I think many people are assuming or hoping, from a financial markets point of view, that the ANC will ultimately end up partnering with a group of political parties that includes the DA, and that the government's current reform process can continue on. And that is certainly important in order to lift South Africa's economic growth and create some upside potential for employment and for general well-being of the South African economy. But I don't think we're going to get clarity on that for the next couple of weeks. In terms of provinces, I think for some of the provinces, the ANC will have an easy decision to continue on as the dominant political party within their province. But especially for KwaZulu-Natal, it's going to be a messy outcome. It's hard to imagine that the management of KwaZulu-Natal does not include the MK party. I think if there's efforts to exclude the MK party, that would be essentially a problem waiting to happen. I think the MK party would not easily accept that exclusion, and potentially we're setting ourselves up for a significant level of unrest within KwaZulu-Natal. So clearly that has to be carefully negotiated. It's also clear to me that the MK party is looking to generally continue to disrupt this phase of the election. There were certainly attempts to do that earlier, and I think those attempts will continue on until we have some sort of settling down of the political environment. And I think some of those attempts includes disinformation. And that disinformation is circulating from a wide range of participants. Difficult to isolate exactly what the source is, but as I said earlier, I think we would do well to ignore most of those types of social media contributions. Hope that makes sense, some sense, and we'll move on to chat about what happened to South African interest rates. The South African Reserve Bank had their MPC meeting last week Thursday, and they decided to keep the repo rate unchanged at 8.25%. There was no surprise in that decision. It was unanimous from the MPC members, and it was pretty much in line with what most analysts had expected. South African interest rates have been unchanged now, I think, for about a year. And I think for the next couple of months, we would assume that interest rates remain exactly where they are. What was encouraging from the MPC was that they appear to be a little bit more comfortable with where inflation in South Africa is trending. They've revised their inflation forecast lower, not by a significant amount, but at least it's a move in the right direction. They've also indicated that they think the risks to inflation are balanced. Previously, they've always highlighted the risks to the upside. But now when you look at the mix of factors, if you look at food inflation, the currency, even the oil price, all of those are a little bit more palatable. We've had some of the big increases that have moved through the data, and there aren't significant further increases lined up at this stage. In fact, we can expect the petrol price and diesel price to fall further. Yes, the currency's come under a little bit of pressure in a post-election environment, but I don't think any of that is going to derail a generally more favorable outlook for South Africa's inflation. The Reserve Bank is arguing that they get the inflation rate down to the midpoint of the target 4.5% by the second quarter next year. And I think that would then open up the opportunity to continue to cut interest rates. So what does the outlook for interest rates look like? Well, unfortunately, over the very short term, mainly for technical reasons, South Africa's inflation rate looks like it's going to move slightly higher. So I don't think we can anticipate that in that environment, the Reserve Bank will be convinced to cut interest rates. Equally, if we look globally, you've still got a situation where the US is keeping interest rates on hold. And while we expect the ECB to cut interest rates this month, I don't think it's necessarily going to be a significant enough development to convince or to help the Reserve Bank to cut rates. So I think for the next couple of months, you can anticipate the Reserve Bank keeping rates on hold. But critically, as we get further into the second half of the year, our expectation is that South Africa's inflation rate will fall below 5%. And you'll have a situation where both CPI, the headline number, and the core level of inflation is somewhere between 4.5% and 5%. And I think that opens the door for the start of interest rate cuts. The Reserve Bank has admitted that interest rates are in restrictive territory. In other words, they are above the neutral rate. It would therefore argue that they can start the process of reducing interest rates while still keeping interest rates relatively restrictive. So they've got scope, in my mind, to cut interest rates probably about 125 basis points before you get down to that neutral rate. And so they could commence that in the second half of the year, get one or two cuts done this year, and then continue that during the first half of next year. And by the middle of next year, the third quarter of next year, we could be at around 7% as a neutral estimate of South Africa's interest rates. That doesn't mean that interest rates can't go below 7%. It would depend on economic conditions and whether or not the Reserve Bank feels that interest rates need to become stimulatory. But I think there is certainly scope to cut South Africa's interest rates by at least 100 to 150 basis points. So we've penciled in two interest rate cuts in the second half of this year. A lot of that does depend on the ECB cutting rates this month, the Federal Reserve commencing their own interest rate cutting cycle this year, and the idea that inflation moves below 5%. I think all of those are imminently possible, and so I think we've become a little bit more optimistic that we will see the Reserve Bank commencing the interest rate cutting cycle before the end of this year. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.